third time.
God in three
persons.
Blessed Trinity.
Let's thank Him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Merciful and mighty.
Merciful and mighty.
God in three persons.
God in three persons.
Sing it again, God in three persons.
God in three persons.
One more time.
We've had prayer meeting here every morning since Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. And we come in and they just would just turn on enough lights to see to get around. Amen. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to come in and see people scattered all through, back through their congregation, kneeling at pews, some walking, some laying down. I don't read in the scripture, it's important the position of the body as long as our hearts are crying out to the Lord. And I think it has made a huge difference in the camp meeting of those prayer meetings that we've had. And I want to do something we've never done before. I know you're worn out, and I'm as tired as anybody. Amen. But I'd like for us to pray in the morning at 7 o'clock if anybody that will come and meet with us at 7 o'clock in the morning again, because we've got to have the help of heaven. And it's only through and by prayer and fasting that these things, the chains are broken, and the blessing comes to us, and the thing that is that the Lord desires to happen will be accomplished. And it is with great pleasure I ask Brother Ryan Ralston and his precious wife Beth, ever how y'all want to come and take this pulpit, and we're going to pray for him, aren't we? The other night when he came to the pulpit and started praying, now we've experienced that through the years. There was a man, Brother Roger's dad, Brother Frank Boyd, so many times they'd say, Brother Frank, stand and pray over the offering. And he would start praying, and the power of God would get on him, and he would get so anointed to pray that the power of God would fall, and that would be it for our service. It's happened over and over and over again. I remember Brother Leonard Horn doing that a few times, but it's been a long time since I've experienced where that when the preacher come like that, that the congregation responded in prayer like that, and we've got to have that. Without His Spirit, we are none of His. Come on, Brother Ralston. Would you lift your voices in prayer one more time for Brother Ralston? Our Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Lord, we know that there are people that need to be saved in this service tonight. There are people that need to be born again. They need to be delivered. The chains need to be broken that are on their lives. I beg you, Lord God, to come and minister to every need. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you appreciate brother and sister Philip Horton, let's let them know tonight. We appreciate their leadership. Amen. Thank God. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, it's been a joy to be in camp meeting and just the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord. Certainly give honor tonight to all of these ministers that have preached this week and fed my soul and just ushered in the presence of God. And so many wonderful, wonderful things have been spoken. And tonight I just feel the least among all. But we just give God praise for every good thing that's been done. And I don't believe God's done with camp meeting just yet. Amen. I feel like I touched the Lord today and I got something the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. But before we get there, let me say I appreciate the church here, the Richlands Church, and the wonderful place to stay, Brother Randall and Sister Dana offering their trailer, the kind, generous offering. Thank you for that. All the hospitality, all of the things that were placed in the trailer, food-wise and things. So I just appreciate the kindness and the fellowship of the Richlands Church. And I believe it was 1994, the first time that I came, followed Brother J.R. Alexander down here. I was just starting out on the evangelistic field. And so 24 years ago today was the first time that I ever preached at the Tabernacle. And certainly Brother Ralph and Sister Doris became wonderful friends of ours. The last few years of Brother Ralph's life, we were able to preach several meetings together. And just the friendship that we had and just the love and the influence that he shared in my life, I am still grateful for to this hour, and pray that I can finish my race and pleasing unto him, and just what a wonderful, wonderful man that he was, and Sister Doris going on and serving the Lord and giving everything she has for the kingdom of God, and we just appreciate wonderful people that'll serve the Lord. It's good to have my church folks, several of my church folks here tonight. Of course, my wife, my two youngest children are here tonight, and Just my youth pastor, Brother Kelly, and others. I'd like for all my church folks, if they would, stand real quick. Amen. I'm proud of them. So if I go down, they're going with me tonight. So, amen. Blame them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. If you have your Bible, stand with me tonight as we read from the Word of the Lord, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I just want to feel after the Lord. This may not be camp meeting preaching. I don't know the difference. I'll be honest with you. One time a fella called, and I was getting ready for a Wednesday night service, and one preacher called and said, "What are you preaching tonight?" And I said something about it. He said, "Boy," he said, "that sounds like camp meeting preaching." Somebody else called, and I told him what I was preaching. They said, "That sounds like pastoral preaching." Third guy called and told him what I was preaching. He just kind of, huh. He didn't really say anything. So I don't know. I don't know what a camp meeting sermon is. I just kind of preach what gets on my heart, and just trust the Lord will anoint it tonight. And I believe God's in this place to do something wonderful for us. I really do. And I want to talk to you tonight some scriptures that are really, really simple, very, very familiar to us. But I'm gonna look to the altar. And if you know me, you know my heart is in this altar. And I preach to that end tonight. So when the Lord touches your heart and the Lord speaks to you, let's get in this altar tonight and let's see what the Lord has for us on Friday night of camp meeting. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 7. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. If you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Verse number 13. The Bible said, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil," and I didn't really even think about it till I'm reading my text tonight, but really Sunday night I started about the oil and Samuel, Saul coming out for the anointing, and so I guess we're going to end up where we started Sunday night. "Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Chapter number 17, a familiar story as well, the challenge with Goliath. But I want to start at verse number 23, maybe some scriptures that are a little different in this story. The Bible says, "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by, and said, What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? The people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Amen. Pray with me one more time. Precious Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful week. I thank you, Lord, for one more opportunity to stand in this pulpit. God, to preach the word of the Lord, I pray you to awaken our minds and our spirit, oh God. Oh, Lamb of God, I pray you'd come to us right now, Lord. Touch us around this altar tonight. Let someone put themselves in a place where the anointing of God can be poured out in a mighty, mighty way. We'll be quick to praise you. We'll be quick to honor you. Give you all the glory. The wonderful name of Jesus and all the people of God said, Amen. Turn around, shake three or four hands before you're seated tonight. Amen. Tell him you're going to help the preacher man preach if you would. Praise the Lord. Thank God. How many realize that scripture is so familiar to so many, that God doesn't see as man seeth? For God doesn't look upon the outward, but he looks upon the heart. God looked down and he saw a young man by the name of David. He saw into the heart of David. David was being judged by his brothers and his fathers really as being inadequate to be king of Israel. But God looked down and he saw into the heart of David. Really, he can see deeper than you and I can see. For tonight, all we can see is the outward. All I can see is from my perspective in the natural, unless the Spirit of the Lord reveals something to us. And how many have been fooled by people before? There have been people I didn't think were doing that good that wound up doing a whole lot better. There's some people I thought were doing pretty good, and come to find out they weren't doing really that well at all. I'm glad God can see the heart, aren't you? I'm glad God doesn't judge us like other men judge us, and God doesn't see our limitations, and God doesn't see our stature and say, maybe we don't have the physical ability or the tools or the talents, but God looks upon the heart and he judges what's upon the heart of a man and what's in the heart of a woman to do something great for God. So if God would be my helper tonight, I want to preach to you for a little while about the king that is in that kid. The king that is in the heart of David. There's a king in that kid. You and I don't see it. All we see is a young, ruddy boy. All we see is Jesse's baby boy, the keeper of the sheep. And really, if we sized him up, we would have never thought that's the next king of Israel. We would have never said that in the heart of that young man is a heart like nobody else. We would have never seen a heart that's after God. We would have never seen a heart that was immeasurable, full of the praises of God. But yet God in heaven looked down, and when he passed all of those elder brothers up and it came to David, God saw something that Saul did not see. God saw something that Jesse did not see. God saw something that David's brothers did not see. He saw a heart that's beating after God. Amen. I'd like for God to step into this building tonight and look at our hearts and see what's going on in our lives. I really come tonight to stir some young folks. Maybe a preacher, maybe an evangelist that would say it's time for a new, fresh outpouring of God in your life. And say, oh God, I need a new touch. I need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. How many knows we're in a battle in this last hour? I said we're in a last day battle, but I'm glad the Spirit of God promises in His Word that in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I pray the Holy Ghost from heaven tonight. Amen. I'd like to see some young folks come to this altar and say on Friday night of camp meeting, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to give God everything. Amen. I'm going to stand for God if nobody else stands. If I'm the only one in school, if I'm the only one in the youth group, if I'm the only one in my family, I'm going to stand for God. And I got to believe God would open up that horn of oil and in this last days begin to touch this generation of young people, because I believe God needs some holiness young folks. I believe God needs some young folks that got their mind made up, that are ready to stand the test of time. And the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. But notice the next verse, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord was lifted. The Spirit of the Lord was lifted from Saul. At the same time that the king was losing the Spirit of God, the same time that his boss man was losing the anointing of God, God was pouring it out upon David. Hey, young folks, let me tell you, amen, I know it's 2018, and I know some battles that are tough, but I'm going to tell you, God's grace is strong enough. God's grace is powerful enough. The Spirit of God is strong. Strong enough. You can live for God if you really want to. If you want to have the power of God, your God is not dead. Your God is not limited. Your God is not out of business. But your God is looking for young folks that'll sell out and choose the things of God. I know we don't believe it, but sometimes it's almost as if we're telling this generation that we've got less of the Spirit of God than preceding generations. This is not a trick question tonight, but if you've got the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift your hand. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want you to lift your hand. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We don't have a watered down 21st century baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, hear me, young folks, you've got the same thing. You've got the same power. You've got the same experience that moved in the upper room, that shook the building in Acts 4. Amen, that Cornelius had in Acts chapter number 10, that the Ephesians got in the 19th chapter. Excuse me, but I don't have some kind of compromise. Watered down, amen, easy believe baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've got the true thing. I've got the genuine. I've got the real, authentic power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, glory. Brother John Roberts is here from Panama. Brother John, I know you and I have talked. You want to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Panama. I know it's on my prayer list, and I'm praying God give you that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to see it just in Panama. I
I'm going to mount the pulpit at 707 Little Neck Road Sunday morning. And I'm looking for the same power of the Holy Ghost at Little Neck Road as I am in Panama, as I am in any other land. I tell you, church, we've got to have an outpouring. We need some young folks that'll sell out. Because we're wanting the power that grandma and grandpa had. But we're really not willing to pay the price. We're wanting a little bit of the world, but we're still wanting to feel God and have the power of God. Hallelujah. I believe you've got to choose. I believe you got to sell out. I don't believe you can choose God in the world. Amen. But oh, can I tell you, as a teenager, I sold out to God. I've never been sorry. I said I've never been sorry. And what I feel tonight in the house of God, it's worth anything. It's worth giving up the ball games. It's worth giving up the country music. I said it's worth it. I said it's worth it. I said it's worth it. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have the power of God. Hey! Glory. And when I was looking for a holiness wife, I wasn't looking for somebody that was struggling with standards. So you can say you really love God. Well, who are you trying to date? I didn't want a girl that was trimming her hair. Hallelujah. That's not the first time you heard that. Amen. I remember Joy Hyde coming in and telling us, look like you stuck your finger in a lock socket, light socket, and it all blew up. Whether you're snipping it, clipping it, trimming it, burning it, whatever. Amen. Friend, I'm going to tell you, amen, it's the same standard. Amen. When Joey preached to us about throwing away Sandy Patty and giving up Charmin Carmen and giving up the world and choosing God, I chose God, and it's still going to be the same thing. You can't have the world and God too. But God, give us some young folks tonight that'll choose God and have the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory. Hallelujah. Any young folks in this building tonight? Oh, God, help us. Glory. I'm really not even as worried about what you're dressed like tonight as if I could show up tomorrow and see what you look like. Because sometimes we got one way we dress when we come to church. Woo! And we slide out of it. And we lengthen it. And we do it in such a way that nobody knows. Nobody knows. But what do you look like on Monday? What do you look like on Tuesday? What do you look like on Thursday? Amen. When you really sell out, it don't matter if it's Monday at school or Wednesday at church or Sunday in the choir. I said you made up your mind. I said you got your mind made up. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Have the power of God. There's some giants. In my day, young folks, you had to get in a car and go find trouble. You don't have to do that anymore. That phone in your pocket is as pure or as wicked as you want it to be.
That's right.
It really is. But it's a window into your heart. And if you can't control that phone, go to a dumb phone. I know I've preached against TV and movies, but TV is an out-of-date thing. Because that phone in your pocket, you can stream anything, you can watch anything, you can do anything, you can watch any show. God forbid you can get in any kind of deep immorality that you want. But the internet is here to stay. So we gotta learn how to live victorious. I said we're going to have to learn, amen, to allow the power of God to keep us in a wicked world. Oh, my God. Amen, I'm going to cross up some of you right here. Amen, I know I am, but I don't sit around on my phone and watch Fox News either. Amen, if we're going to preach against TV, we better draw the line. I said we better draw the line. Amen, oh, God, help us. I said, my God, help us. I'll preach by myself. That'll be all right. It won't be the first time, but Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the president, I'm not as worried as what they got to say as the word of the living God. Let me hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Hey, if the president could be bring revival. That's all I heard. We got to get him in office. We got to get him in office. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. We use our church as a polling station. I stand out in the parking lot, and I invite them to church. Not allowed to politic, but who's going to politic for those kind of guys? I'm politicking for Jesus. Man, folks voted for, this seems old school, but after you get done voting, they print out all of the tallies of the votes and they tape it to the door. And the district polling person comes by and takes them off the door. Seems a lot outdated and old school to me. But I couldn't help it, Brother Andy. I went out there and started. Folks voted for Mickey Mantle, Elvis Presley, Donald Duck. They voted for some people, I don't know who they were. They voted for all. And I'm glad that we got the president that we have. But you listen. Where's the revival? Where's the revival? There's still a general tendency to worldliness. But oh God, I'm telling you, I'm not looking to the White House for a revival. I'm not looking to Wall Street for revival. I'm looking to heaven. And God's looking for a church that'll be a pure church, a holy church, a dancing church. I lost some of you back there, but that's all right. I said we better get our mind on God and get our eyes fixed on the Lamb of God for the trumpet sounding and the dead in Christ are going to rise first and then we which are alive and remain. Woo! You see, these young folk, they don't care about politics. But listen to me. I believe Brother Benny Sutherland was the first one I heard it say 20 years ago. If the devil can get you to laugh at sin, he's almost got you. He's almost got you. And are we not in a generation to where young folks sit around on YouTube that have been raised without television and been raised without movies, but use YouTube as the same thing? I'm going to tell you, if you're laughing at the sins that put Jesus on the cross, if you're laughing at the things that my Savior bled and died for, friend, you better check your experience. Amen. I believe we ought to stay with the same convictions. I believe we ought to stay with the ruby red blood of Jesus. There's one way to be saved, and it's through the blood. But anybody believe you ought to be sanctified? Anybody believe you ought to be holy? Anybody believe we ought to be separate and watch our eyes? And as Job said, make a covenant. There's some giants that have to fall. Preach against social media if you want. I preach against it pretty hard. But I'm going to tell you, I got a real problem with guys that's all they preach against, but they never deal with pornography. I'm not as worried about social media that you're posting. I'm worried about what you're doing hiding in your bedroom. The average exposure of pornography to young men in our country is 11 years old. Over 75% of young men as teenagers have been exposed or involved in pornography in our country. 75%. I'm not saying that statistic holds tonight, but my God, I'm telling you, we better get to the altar and say, God, anoint us. My God, anoint us. My God, anoint us with power. 20 years from now, those young men are married. You don't think that's going to affect their marriage? You don't go... Oh, my God, my God. I don't care what the Supreme Court says about marriage. How many know God said it's man and woman, one wife till death do you part? Amen. That's God's word. I don't care what they sign. I don't care what they do. But listen to me, young folks. You don't have to be embarrassed. Young lady, that you're modest and godly and feminine. You're designed by God. I said you're created in the image of God. And young man, you don't have to be ashamed that you're masculine, that you know you're a man, that you know you're a boy. I said, God, help us and send the power. Oh, lift your hands. Ask the Lord to help me preach tonight. God doesn't make mistakes. It's a sad day when the birth certificate of babies being born, the parents would say, undecided, not yet to be determined. That's a sad day. That's a sad day. But some of you that are my age and older, you don't want to go back to being a teenager in the world we're living in. But you're 50 and 60 and still struggling with holiness too. If you got a man of God preaching holiness, oh, I'm telling you, there's pressure against that pulpit. I said there's pressure against that pulpit. You preach against homosexuality, there's pressure. You preach against lesbianism, there is pressure. You preach against effeminacy, there is pressure. You preach against the world, there is pressure. And sometimes the pressure is coming from the pew. I expect it from out there. I expect it from out there, but not in the house of the living God. I say, God, draw us together. I say, God, draw us. Draw us together. Pour out the Holy Ghost. And I'm not bashing. I got nobody in mind. But I'm telling you, young men, effeminacy is not acceptable in the sight of God. Period. Period. I'm not bashing. I'm not throwing stones at you. But I'm telling you, there's an altar. But the Bible said the effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye have been washed. He have been justified. He have been sanctified. My God, there's coming a day when the homosexual will come to the altar in our churches. But we better have the power of God to transform them out of darkness. Young men, you don't have to. Killing giants is a lonely business. You see, David went out on the battlefield and his brothers made fun of him. Eliab, his eldest brother, started mocking his intentions. Who you think you are? Who you think you are? You big shot? You just got a little few sheep on the backside of the desert. Who do you think you are? Same thing the devil tells some of you that are trying to live holiness. Who you think you're trying to be? You trying to be all that? You trying to be somebody super spiritual? No, you're just trying to be all that God wants you to be. It's easier to go with the crowd. It's easier to float downstream. But I want to call you out of the woodwork tonight. I want to call you out of the stuff. I want to see some young ladies and young men, some mamas and some daddies in this altar tonight with the power of God and the glory of God on their life. I may speak as a fool right here, but I've got friends in other organizations. Hear me closely. They would die to have the young people we've got. I can take you to one of the largest districts inside of the Assemblies of God movement. It is close to their headquarters. And they've only got one licensed preacher under 25 years old. They cannot get anybody to go into the ministry. They cannot get anybody spiritual enough. Matter of fact, they've had to loosen their immoral standards because of so many affairs and so much pornography. Amen. You hear me tonight? I'm telling you, we're doing better than we think. We've got a good group. We've got a great group. We've got the best group. That's why I say, let's get to this altar and let the power of God, I say, preach, young man. I say shout. I say dance. I say run. So what? They make fun of you. So what? That giant's got to fall. Somebody say, that giant's going down. That giant's going down. And you know what David said? David looked back at his history. David reached back in the back of his mind. And he said, what God did for me against the bear and what God did for me against the lion, he's going to do against that giant. You're going down. You're going down. You're going down. I want some young folks to look at the devil tonight and say, you're going down. You're going down. Just like the bear. Oh, somebody worship God. Somebody magnify God. Hey, you're next, devil. Woo! Old farmer next door, Mr. Paul Gazzard, got a bunch of cows, got a donkey out in the cows, keep the coyotes away. I was out there talking to him a while back, and another old farmer was there, and you know how they lean up against the post and they're solving all the world's problems. The old farmer said, you know, put a rope around the pen, and snakes don't get in the pen anymore. Said the snake won't cross that rope. Talked about it for a little while, and I don't know if that's a wise tale or not. Usually if I'm in an area with a snake, I've got a gun. Red touches yellow, kills a fellow. Red touches black, venom. I forget all that when I see a snake. But that old farmer said, Pa, I tell you, you got that donkey out there. He said, I'll tell you how I get coyotes. Get rid of them. He said, I'll kill one because they travel in packs. He said, I'll kill one and I'll string him up. And all of his little friends will come around and they'll see their buddy hanging from the tree. And before long, I don't have a coyote problem. He said, they know this is not a neighborhood they want to be shopping in. He said, they're gone. He said, hang your coyote. They'll flee the scene. Can I tell you tonight, that's what David did. David hung up that bear. I said, David hung up that lion. And he said, oh, God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Hey, young folks, I want you to know God has saved you. God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. You're not going down. You're not a casualty. You're a child of God. You're victorious. You're an overcomer. I said, you're part of an army of overcomers in this last hour. But here, I'm done with this. I was teaching this lesson during college class one day, and something popped out to me that I'd never seen before. David heads down to the battlefield. But David's not going to fight. David doesn't even know he's going to be in a fight at the end of the day. I was teaching about servant leadership, and it dawned on me what got David to the battlefield was that basket of lunches for his brethren. David was going to serve, not fight. David was going to serve, not fight. We're in an hour, it seems like, everybody's really good at throwing rocks. The insults are hurled back and forth. Seems like everybody's quick to pull in their bag and throw a rock and criticize. But it doesn't seem like anybody wants to serve. Doesn't seem like anybody's got anything for anybody else. It's like this generation wants to be served. Serve me. Give me. Sing to me. Make me happy. Lift me up. Tell me how good I am. But I tell you tonight, the burden of my heart is to call some of you and to tell you, your Father has given you a lunch to go out to this world and to serve and to serve and to serve and to serve. And if you'll serve, God will take you to the palace. David didn't fight his way to the palace. David served his way to the palace. David served his brethren. My God, tonight I'd like to see some young ladies come to this altar and say, God, whatever you want out of my life. God, make me everything that you want me to be. I'd like to see young men in this altar with the power of God, amen, coming down your life and say, God, whatever you want. If you want me to be a missionary, if you want me to be a preacher, if you want me to be a teacher, whatever. I said, whatever. Not my will, thy will be done. How many can pray that right now? Not my will. Oh, not my will. Why don't you lift your hand toward heaven and say, Lord, not my will. Not my will. Not my will. Not my will. Oh, come on, lift your voice. Stand with me if you would, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on to the music tonight. Let's get ready. Oh, Spirit of the living God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young man, I don't want you looking at your buddies right now. I want you looking at heaven. Young lady, I don't want you looking at your friends right now. I want you looking at heaven. Preacher, man, evangelist, I don't want you looking around tonight. I want you looking at heaven and saying, God, do you have something ready for me tonight? Do you have something ready for me tonight? I receive it, Lord. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, one more time. Lift your hand toward heaven. Hey, God's going to give us a mighty move around this altar. God's going to give us a mighty move around this altar. Glory, 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 glory. I know we're not running 1,000 miles an hour. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go section by section. You got your mind made up. You don't care about anybody else's influence in your life right now. It is you and God. It is you and God. And you say, I got my mind made up. I want the Spirit of the Lord. I want the Spirit of the Lord. You want the Spirit of the Lord right now, young men, young ladies alike. Amen. Right now in this altar, I want you to stand and find a place. Amen. Mom and Dad, you can come as well. Amen. This section's going first. You got your mind made up. I want you to come into this altar right now. Lift your hands toward heaven. Oh! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. How about in this section right here? The one I'm in front of right now. You've got your mind made up. I don't care who your granddaddy is. I don't care what Sunday school class you're in. I don't care what church you go to. But you got your mind made up. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Yeah, go ahead. Hurry, 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 hurry. Whoa, while the Spirit of the Lord is falling. While the power of the Lord is falling. Hey, preacher man. Hey, preachers. Why don't you lay your hand on some of these young men? Come on, preacher's wives. What about this section right here? Do you have your mind made up?
What I want to do.
What about this far right section? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. Come on, come on, come on, right now. Hey!
You decide for you. I'll decide.
Come on, come on. When you get here, come on, let's lift our hands. Come on, let's worship God. Come on, sell out right now. Lord, I believe in holiness.
Nobody's making me do it. This is how.
That's it. That's it. Come on. Come on. Lord, I'll throw it away. Lord, I'll give it up. Lord, I'll give it up. Lord, I'm selling out. Lord, I'm selling out. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on.
Nobody's making me do it.
Come on, young men. Come on. Come on. Kill that giant. Kill that giant.
Holiness is what I want to be. Well, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this.
Nobody's making me do it. This is how I
want to live. Come on, come on,
come on. You decide
for you. Let's love the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
Holiness is what I want to live. Well, I choose to be a Christian.